Jupiter Broadcasting presents this program in stereo. This episode brought to you in part by GoDaddy.com.
Hello, everyone. Chris here, and we have a retro edition of the Linux Action Show. What? I know, retro edition, I know what you're thinking, but it's actually kind of a neat deal. This episode that I'll be rolling will be Season 10, Episode 5, and it's rather noteworthy for myself personally for a couple of reasons. The first one being, it's kind of old, and that's kind of interesting to see what we were talking about. But the subject that we were talking about was when Asus was dropping Linux from the Triple E PC brand, and they were trying to distance themselves, and they even launched the It Runs Better with Windows campaign. And when this happened, netbooks were still a really big deal. They were becoming a new computing trend. They were a new computing form factor. They were like the crossover vehicle. Maybe you could argue the netbook's importance has sort of declined now with the tablet and things like that, tablets that are coming out. I think the netbook still has its place, but it's interesting as a retrospective now to see this conversation, to see how important this was. So that's in this week's episode. The other thing that we're doing is this is a completely behind-the-scenes video. Normally, we shoot these things live, and they're a few hours, and then we get it back in the studio, we edit it all down, and we release that for downloads and for file size and all that kind of pacing, all that kind of stuff. So the version you guys end up getting, if you're not watching live stream, is a compressed version. Back in the dizzle, you see that's me being hip there. Back in the day, we shot in a lower resolution, so we had more available storage and more available disk I.O., which meant that we could actually record two streams, the one we were going to edit down and just a completely unedited, save a copy, this is just what happens when the camera's off, air quotes, and the mic's off, and this is what you see. So that's what this episode is a lot of stuff said off mic, frankly, because the show wasn't recording. So it's one really long combined episode of everything. When we sat down in the studio. Oh, and I should say the third noteworthy sort of thing about this episode is it's our first episode we ever shot in the studio, I believe. Boy, I might have that wrong. I think it's going to be right in that range, though. So that's really exciting. Before we go on, though, I want to say thanks to our buddies over at GoDaddy.com. This episode of Linux Action Show is sponsored by GoDaddy, and if you use our code Linux, you'll save 10% on checkout. Linux 20 will save you 20% on hosting. I don't need to bore you with those details, though, because they will be talked about later on in the episode. Now, as to why we're rolling a retro episode this week, I know not everybody loves it when we do this, but Brian's out of town, so he couldn't join us. And I got sick last week. Well, actually, I've been sick for a little while, and I've been trying to manage it, but it's gotten out of hand, and I needed to take some time off. So we missed a couple episodes of Jupiter at Night. Hopefully, we'll be back next week with that. If you haven't seen Jupiter at Night yet, you might want to go check it out. It's turning out to be a pretty good show, and next week's going to be really great. So we'll be back in full swing with a full Linux Action Show in the following week. Our Arch review is coming up, and our gaming episode is coming up. I'm surprised at how many people out there have contacted me saying, Chris, you got to cover this game. Chris, when are you doing the gaming episode? Did I miss the gaming episode yet? You guys are awesome. You really want the gaming episode, like, hardcore. So we'll be featuring that probably after the Arch review. It kind of depends, because off the top of my head, I don't exactly remember the timing of the Fedora 14 release. So whichever happens first. Fedora 14, it's going to be Arch. That's happening next week. I'm going to be doing that on a live stream today. We're kind of doing a no-show Linux Action Show on our live stream slot later today. I think probably almost a week. I think I'm 6 days into Arch right now. And then by next week, I'll have spent 2 weeks with Arch, and we'll do a full review on Linux Action Show. Brian's been running almost for a month now, so he'll have a lot of thoughts. And then after that, it'll be a gaming and Fedora 14 episode. So I'm really excited about what's coming up. But we're just going to take this week, since Brian's out and I'm sick, sort of recoup. But this is a really interesting retro episode, and I hope you dig the behind-the-scenes stuff, because I got a couple of these that I could pull out in the future. So if you like this, let me know. And maybe in the future, if we have to do something like this, I'll roll another retro episode. All right, everyone, we'll enjoy the Season 10, Episode 5 retro look at the Linux Action Show. All right, everybody, welcome to the live version of the Linux Action Show. This one's a little different, like we've been doing for a bit. You see, now we've got chat integrated down here in the video, and we've got a green screen behind us. Brian, lean.
Lean, Brian, lean.
Yeah. All right.
So we're going to do the Linux Action Show a little different this time. And it's been streamed over at jupiterbroadcasting.com/live if you would have wanted to catch it live. But if you didn't, you're not missing out too much, because we're doing the recorded version for you right now, right here.
Damn skippy we are.
All right, Brian, I am ready to kick off the actual audio version whenever you is.
Let's rock and roll. And welcome to Linux Action Show, this of course being Season 10, Episode 5. My name is Brian, with me of course is Chris.
Hey, Brian, the United States Submarine's Fire Control Systems run Linux.
Nice.
And when I say fire control, I mean the kind of fire
like the boom
from
boom.
Like a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, not that wussy fire like an extinguisher. No. I mean the stuff
the
that
kill,
blows
the
other stuff.
Yeah,
up.
The kill you systems.
Yes, the
run
kill you
Linux.
Systems. So how you doing,
awesome.
Big guy?
I'm doing fine. What's up?
Well, you know, not much. It's we're in a new studio now, so the audio isn't exactly dialed in yet.
But it's not bad.
So you'll have to forgive if it's making you go a little crazy. I apologize.
I'm going a little nuts right
we're
now.
We're working on it. We're tweaking it as we go, and it's a work in progress. It's something I'll have an in-depth look on once I have it all dialed in. Basically, building a semi-pro studio on a budget. So
it's I'm pretty pleased with it.
It's working.
This is kind of pimp. Borderline pimp.
It is borderline.
Yeah.
So borderline. Was there anything else we wanted to cover at the top, or should we just give a holler to our boys over at GoDaddy.com?
I think we should give a holler to our boys over at GoDaddy.com.
Well, let's do that. So GoDaddy.com has been sponsoring the Linux Action Show for quite a while now, and they've hooked us up with a couple of different deals.
And they're good ones, my friends.
If you use the code Linux, that's LINUX, when you check out, how much are they going to save, Brian?
I believe that's 10% off
you of are
any
right.
order, I believe.
10% off any order right off the top.
Boom, just right there.
But let me tell you something, everybody. GoDaddy, these guys, they've got themselves some shared hosting plans that are pretty righteous. I use a few of them myself.
He
and if
does.
You go to our sites, you've used them and you didn't even know it. They're
oh
awesome.
My gosh.
They're stable.
It's like,
they're fast.
It's like all the people out there who have TiVos, they run Linux, don't even know it. It's like you guys, you use GoDaddy, don't even know it.
If you use the code Linux
Trojan
20,
Horse.
LINUX 20, Linux 20, when you check out, you'll save 20% off shared hosting plans.
20%.
So, and of course, when you use those, it helps us out, and we really appreciate that.
Help us to help you.
All right, everybody. So that's Linux and Linux 20 at GoDaddy.com. Okay, Brian, you know what I think. Let's do the news. Jom, jom, jom.
Oh, man.
Ba-da-ba-da, da-ba-da, da-ba-da, da-ba-da.
Pimp to the extreme.
Jom, jom, jom. All right, so I'm setting up another track here, and then we're going to get on to the news segment. What do you think about the news, Brian? You got anything you want to throw at me that I haven't covered on my little docket here?
No, I was taking a quick peek at your docket. It looks pretty decent overall.
You looking at my docket, Brian?
I was staring at your docket earlier.
When, oh, my God, that's so gross.
When you didn't notice.
So I have got...
See, aren't you guys glad you're watching the behind-the-scenes video? You don't get that in the standard Linux Action Show audio version.
That's worth it right there.
This right here. This is all custom content.
All right. So I've got a couple of different stories that I thought I would cover.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I hate this story, too. Well, let's move this one. Move this one right here. And then we got the big boy at the end.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a fun one.
Okay. All right.
Nice.
Ready when you are, sir.
What's new in the news this week?
All right, Brian. Our top story on the news docket for this week. It's probably a little nod to a story we've been covering for a little while.
Probably is.
The GP2X Wiz finally hits shelves. Now, we've talked about the GP2X for...
Dude, he said Wiz.
I did say Wiz.
Nice.
Nice, yeah.
Nice.
yeah. So the GP2X, it's from a company called Game Park Holdings, and they have released this console. It's a little portable, like, I guess you probably put it in the same, I don't know, Brian, would you say the same classification as the Nintendo DS?
Yeah, well, you know, the GP2X Wiz is basically the new version of the GP2X. It's, you know, it's updated, it's newer, it's a decent price. It's basically, it's basically the ultimate little handheld emulation box. So if you're, and it runs Linux, of course. And, so, you know, if you're looking to emulate, you know, Nintendo Entertainment System or heck, even, the GP2X and the GP2X Wiz do a pretty good job of emulating things like, the old Capcom arcades or the Neo Geos or Sega Genesis or things like that.
I love that.
So if you want to have a nice little portable emulator, that's something these are really good at. And there are, of course, a lot of open source games available as well that you can get and play. So they're great little have them, take them with you in your pocket game systems.
Okay. So
let's go over some of the specs.
Oh, yes.
It has the chipset, and I haven't heard of this, Brian, but that just might be me. It's called the chipset for the board is the Magic Eyes Pollock System on a Chip. And it's, I guess, one of these deals where it's a bunch of the different components, single chip, reduced power, reduced heat, those kinds of things. Then it is rocking a 533 megahertz ARM 9 3D accelerated processor. So it's it's a CPU with 3D acceleration on one chip again.
Nice.
That's way nice.
Way nice.
And then it's got a gigabyte of NAND flash memory, 64 megabytes of RAM. Of course, it's running Linux.
And it's got an SD card slot, so you can throw whatever you want in it.
Including SDHC, so the high capacity, large, like the 32 gig cards. And
I've got one of the old GP2Xs, the older versions. I have a little 4 gig card I slide in there. I'm telling you, you can fit a lot of games on
that
sucker.
A lot of ROMs. Yeah. It has USB 2.0.
Assuming that you own the rights to use those ROMs.
It also has a USB hub, so you can hook up, like, it has the ability to have, I think it's like a couple of ports, so you can hook up, like, keyboard and mouse and things like that.
Yeah, totally.
Just a few other things. It's got mic in, which is kind of cool. It's got TV out. It's OpenGL supported. So this looks like a really nice box.
It's a great little rig. And of course,
it comes with, I just want to say this because I didn't notice. Lots of built-in video codecs and Flash 8.
Yeah.
So, play your video games and watch your
And watch like YouTube videos.
Boy, this is really rocking.
It's a great little device, and you know a lot of people will compare it to I can get that plus a little bit if I get like the Open Pandora devices, but you can't really get the Open Pandora devices currently. They did their initial selling thing, and then it's just kind of just sitting there. So
I'm trying to get the price, but the page is not loading.
You know,
for me.
Bought my original GP2X for I want to say like $180.
Yeah, no, it was crazy cheap.
Yeah, it really wasn't a bad deal. Device. Honestly, anything less than about $250, I'm going to say is a phenomenal deal.
Yeah,
really.
I don't have the prices here on this page.
The prices are going to be different because it's going to be an import. So
go. Jeez, Brian, check this out. I don't know how accurate this is.
$180
or 119 pounds.
Yeah, great deal.
That's crazy.
Really, really great
deal.
That's
crazy.
Now, and what I did with my old GP2X and the new GP2X Wiz is supposed to be a little bit better in this regard is because it ran off of two AA batteries. And so what I just did is I kept two little rechargeable high-capacity batteries going constantly, and off of one set of two AAs, it lasts me for several days of solid playing.
Hey, Brian.
So pretty solid.
Brian.
What?
Good job.
Thanks.
All right, so our next story on the news docket for this
Chris week. Was being condescending there, ladies and gentlemen.
The next story is, I think it's a sign of the times, Dell demonstrates their little Dell Mini netbook running Android Cupcake, the official release version of Android, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they...
I love that the new version of Android 1.5 is called Cupcake.
Yeah. And they've been talking about, a lot of different people have been talking about, I think Android could make a good netbook platform.
Sure, why not?
So Dell said, hey, you know what? Money where mouth is. And they went ahead and they loaded Cupcake on a $300 Mini 10 netbook.
Yeah.
And they said...
Which are nice little netbooks.
They said it's very lightweight, the operating system size. It's very fast and the power management's great. And it's still got a little work to do. But what's interesting to me is... And we're kind of transitioning these netbooks to almost more of an appliance.
Yeah, they're definitely going that way.
But
yeah.
here's what really jumped out at me about this story is Dell does all of this really, really cool geeky Linux stuff that we never hear about unless we talk about it here on the Linux Action Show.
I know.
Like DKMS is that technology that will automatically recompile kernel-linked drivers on a new kernel version. They do a ton of open-source RAID controller drivers. They do a lot of work with Ubuntu. They're doing a lot of stuff with these netbooks and Android on these netbooks.
And they are terrible about getting the word out about it. I know.
The heck? So
it amazes me. And it's not just big companies, little companies, small projects. They do all this really amazing work, and then
they go
and tell their mom about it, and then they stop. They stop talking about it completely, and then the only people that ever talk about it and actually get the word out are us.
There's a lot of Adaptec SCSI controllers out there that would not be working under Linux if it wasn't for Dell, and
seriously,
I don't think anybody knows that. So we got to get this Doug Anderson guy. He works in the lab there at Linux. We got to get him on the show. At Dell, and we got to get him straightened out and get him talking about what they're doing over there, because it sounds like a lot of really cool stuff.
It sounds really cool. Yeah.
All right. So the next story on the news docket for this week. Fedora 11 hits a last-minute delay and will now be released in early June.
Sure.
So, the only reason why I think this is newsworthy is these Fedora guys are not hitting any of these releases ever.
When was the last time they actually released
people
on time?
People on Twitter were saying Fedora 5. Fedora Core 5 was the last Fedora release on time.
All right, that sounds about right. So before Linux Action Show ever even started.
I have no problem with delaying so that way you put out a good product. So
no problem at
the
all.
The issue is not on the fact that they've delayed. Good on them. I'd rather Ubuntu would have delayed a couple
I'd
of
rather
weeks
them
to fix some of their
then,
issues.
Yeah.
And so good on Fedora, but at the same time, dudes, just push your release schedule out a couple of weeks.
Seriously.
So that's it. I this is for Fedora 11, and it's going to be out in early June. That's not very long from now. And, of course, you could always go get the Rawhide version right now. But let's cover a few things that you're going to get in Fedora 11 while we're talking about it.
What's coming with 11?
So you're going to get EXT4 in Fedora 11, and it's going to be one of the default options in Fedora's installer. You're going to get a new volume controller, which is to better manage pulse audio, which the other distros don't have this yet. So this is going to be a Fedora-specific for a little while. And this guy here is going to give you a...
Now, don't they have an early version of that in the current Ubuntu?
They have a different version. This guy here has... this screenshot doesn't show it. Shoot, I wish, because it'd be easier to explain if I could show you the screenshot. But this guy here has something that's unique to the version that they just revved that's making it into this Fedora 11 release. And the screenshot drove it home perfectly, but this page doesn't have it.
fair enough.
But anyways, it's good. The other thing, of course, they're doing is they're revving all of the recent packages. You're going to get KDE 4.2 in there, and you're going to get GNOME 2.6. So that's all good. They've done a lot of work with a lot of the typical things.
Yeah.
They've polished up the automatic Codex installer, and now also they also have an automatic font installer and MIME installer. So if you have an application or something that needs the MS Core fonts now, they've got like when you launch a video that needs a certain codec, they've now got a grabber that will say, "Hey, you need this font." And it will help you get that font now, which is kind of cool, right?
That's kind of cool, yeah.
And they've continued
a lot.
And they've streamlined when you open up in Totem, say you open up a Windows media file, and in Ubuntu it'll say, "Hey, you need the GStreamer bag codecs to play this," and you're like, "GStreamer bag codecs? What? That sounds bad, right?"
Seriously.
Well, so now the Fedora promises, "Hey, you need the Windows Media 9 decoder."
Right.
Would you like to get the Windows Media 9 decoder?
That makes way more sense.
Yes. So it's
I'm glad they're doing
a little bit of polish.
That's great.
And then so the same grab technology is the same for the font system I just talked about. So if you're in Abbey Word and you go to open up a document and somebody used an MS font that you don't have on your Linux system, so Abbey Word isn't going to render the document
properly.
It'll
try and find it.
It'll say, "Hey, I can go search the repos for this and maybe I can load this for you."
Nice.
Big
I like that a lot.
I like that.
That's very cool.
I like that a lot. So that's very nice. They've got a new drive diagnostics utility that lets you run smart checks. Lets you do a few other things with that.
Okay.
They've worked with the dual, a lot of stuff that came from Xorg. Now they've got a front end to manage multiple windows. And they've also, they've disabled, just like Ubuntu did, the Control Alt Backspace. And I don't recall why that is to kill your X11 session, but they've turned that off. It's just like the latest Ubuntu did. I don't know what the reason is.
I don't either.
They're both doing it, so there must be some reason.
Maybe too many people coming from Windows kept doing that to force of habit.
One time I had a bug where there was a key remap and just hitting backspace triggered Control Backspace.
Yeah.
Not awesome day for Chris. And then they've continued. They introduced a new firewall tool, and I don't know if it made it into Fedora 10. It is in Fedora 11 now, too.
Right.
That's very cool. All right, so now I want to talk about something that really freaking pisses me off, and that's the next story on the new Stock at Brian.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Okay.
All right, so.
Yeah, here we go.
There was this little thing called the netbook.
Oh, my gosh.
And it redefined the computer industry in a lot of ways.
And it all kicked off with the Asus Tripoli.
The Asus Tripoli 701 that came preloaded with a Zandros-based Linux installation.
I rushed out there and got one as soon as I could.
Yeah, we both got one. Aside from the keyboard, we loved them.
Yeah.
And they really did start this whole...
Gave one to my mom recently.
They exploded this whole new market, whole new segment of the computer industry. If you talk to people, they're all thinking about getting these netbooks for it's a computer I'll have on the couch, that kind of stuff. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so Linux enabled Asus to develop and deliver the Tripoli PC at a reasonable price and keep it cheap, right?
Yep. It was great. They threw a custom version of Zandros on there. It was lightweight, booted crazy fast. It was like a 14-second some odd boot. It was insane.
So we've had a little bit of time now with netbooks on the market, and so Asus thought, hey, you know what we should do to thank the Linux community because they've really helped us launch this new category of computers? They've launched a new campaign called It's Better with Windows. And It's Better with Windows highlights all the reasons why Asus netbooks running Windows XP are superior to netbooks running Linux.
Dude, and it's better with Windows.com. They put a whole friggin' domain name with the long phrase.
That new super sexy clamshell triple EPC that looks really nice. If you go to the bottom of its product page, it has a big blurb on there about why it's better with Windows, and it's this total like partnership thing they've done with Microsoft to push Windows XP, which, whatever. Okay, that's one thing. That's not nothing really that new. But then to go this whole another it's better with Windows, and then to talk about why a netbook with Windows is better than a netbook with Linux, that is just salt in the wound. And
Now, who put up it's better with Windows.com?
This is a joint venture between Asus and Microsoft.
Okay.
It's a deal that they've done together. So what it is I believe Microsoft did the there's a really crappy video on the
site. It's really lame.
It's really bad. And I believe Microsoft produced the extremely crappy video, and they threw up the site. And then Asus is now going through, and so Asus provides them with all the equipment for all the videos, and then Asus is linking on their product pages to it's better with Windows. And they have three main points. They have it's trusted. Windows delivers a dependable experience that Microsoft and the world community of partners stand behind.
Yeah.
And then it's familiar. Windows is easy to use and familiar, so you can be up and running right away.
Then
it's compatible. You can be confident that your devices and applications will work with Windows more than any other platform. And what they're doing is they're bundling Windows XP with Microsoft Works with Asus netbooks.
I give up.
Screw you, Asus.
Dude, I just give up. That's it. I'm done.
Eat a turd sandwich. That is ridiculous.
Dude, here's the thing. I am all for Asus coming out and saying, you know what? Whatever OS you want to run on these things, I'll sell it to you with that. I don't care. I don't care if they want to. If they want to put on DOS and Windows 3.11 for workgroups on there. Honestly, I know one guy who tells me every time I see him, Windows 3.11 is like the highlight of awesome. You know what? I bet you he'd buy one, and I would give him a high five for that. And I would,
Asus,
way to go for providing what people want. Way to go. But to come out with this and not just say, you know, here's the default system and then you can change it if you want.
Right.
But to throw big friggin' blurbs and say everything is better if you just run this exact system here, and throw up big websites about it with lame-ass videos and all these sorts of things to push people away from other things, that's just stupid.
Where's the bullet points that say, Linux helped us launch this industry, Linux helps us define the category, Linux... where's those bullet points? And on top of that, two things. First of all, I gotta say it again, the video is really bad. And
then it's really
second
bad.
Of all, XP is frickin' old. It is old. And you are launching an entire advertising campaign around promoting a very, very old operating system.
Dude.
Now, I know a lot of you out there, 47% of you, love Windows XP, or at least you're using it and it works for you.
Right.
Great.
Of the people actually just watching the show.
But be honest with yourself. It is old. Windows XP is going to be done. When Windows 7 hits, they're going to drop XP for netbooks like it's frickin' hot.
And it's going to be all about Windows 7. Radioactive.
It's going to all be about Windows 7. So right now, they're just squeezing the last dollars and cents they can out of this old operating system. So that way they can turd on everyone's face when Windows 7 hits.
It's just, oh, Lord.
XP is nine years old.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing that really makes me cock my head at Asus for doing this. They won huge brownie points. They got tons of marketing that helped them define a category because of their choice of systems. The fact, and it wasn't even necessarily that it was better. It was that it was Linux.
Right.
They were shipping this thing with Linux. And because of that, shows like us and a lot of other technological focused websites and Slashdot and all these other things,
the geek community rallied around it.
We're like, you know what? This is different. It's like if Dell said, you know what? We're going to, yeah, the new Haiku open source implementation of BIOS. Yeah, we're going to ship a laptop with that because we think it's awesome.
Now, I didn't
that
mean
would
to
be huge.
I didn't mean to imply that Windows 7 is the end all netbook OS. I'm just saying that these hardware manufacturers are going to drop their XP products and go with Windows 7 products.
For sure. But and now we're in a position where, like, we've got HP, right?
Yeah.
HP and Dell are putting out ridiculously nice, or MSI are putting out ridiculously nice
netbooks.
Well, you
look, Dell's like, yeah, we've got Linux, and hell, we're even trying out Android. And then you got Asus over there in stupid land doing
better
with Windows.
HP is not only putting out netbooks that are running Linux, they're throwing on complete custom UIs and frameworks and whatnot to have the whole touch flow thing and all these other things on their Linux-powered devices and netbooks. And what's Asus doing? They're just sitting around and going back to XP. So I dare you, sit down with, like, the Dell Mini 10, put down the HP Mini 1000 with their mobile internet 3D swooping and flying, and then throw on XP with its default Fisher-Price candy band looking little UI. Put the three of them together, and then you tell me which one is better looking and has more apps and all these sorts of things.
And
it's just stupid from Asus's part.
And the thing is,
it's dumb.
Yes, there are limitations for some people with Linux netbooks, and for those people, they should be getting an XP-based netbook, and that's fine. And you can make that very clear without launching this whole, it's better with Windows campaign.
Dude, seriously.
Because it smells of just taking money from Microsoft. And the thing is Microsoft virtually has endless supplies of money. And so Microsoft will give money to anybody that'll take it. And the thing that insults me about it is the people that took it are not Dell, it's not HP, who's already been working with Microsoft for years and years. Not that Asus hasn't, but Asus launched this category with Linux, and then they just drop it like that.
It's lame.
Lame. Stan in the chat room keeps pointing out that Win 7 can only have three apps running at a time.
That's actually not true.
That's not true.
Yeah, there was a potentiality that the Windows 7 Starter Edition would limit you to three apps at a time. That actually looks like that might have been a rumor from the beginning.
And actually, though, what they do limit you is 1 gig of RAM and, like, some arbitrarily
there's
small hard drive space.
Yeah.
So there are ridiculous limitations.
There are dumb limitations.
But the three apps at a time does not appear to be one of them.
I'm definitely not going to jump on the defending Microsoft bandwagon on Windows 7 and licensing and all these other things. I'm just but come on, XP versus, like, a cool OpenGL accelerated UI on top
even
of
have to
Linux.
It could be stock Linux, XP. Here, okay.
But I mean, that's the competition. That's Asus is up against. Asus is up against HP and their Mini 1000s and Dell and their 9s and 10s, right? That's what they're up against. And on the Dell side, they've got Ubuntu with their custom toolbar launcher that has some cool effects to it, or HP that has a totally custom UI that people never even have to touch a command line, or XP that everyone and their grandmother agrees is ugly as sin.
Right.
It's one of those three. And so you put all three of them side by side at a Best Buy or something like that. And of course it looks outdated. I mean, what are the Asus guys thinking? Just hitching their wagon to that. It's just dumb. It's dumb.
Yeah. And just as coming from the standpoint of a tech support guy, if you're Joe Consumer, you don't, and all you're doing is email and web, and you're doing the really casual stuff that is very common for a netbook because of the class of a device it is. We don't need any more XP machines out there because the virus issues, the Trojan issues, the zombie machine issues, I just don't need any more of those.
Seriously,
out there.
Guys.
It just upsets me because, a Linux desktop with Thunderbird, Firefox, and Pigeon, and whatever is going to be everything they need while they're sitting on their couch watching American Idol.
Right. And plus, I don't want to talk about this anymore. It's honestly making me a little grumpy.
All right.
I kind of want to get a hold of Asus and have them come on the show and defend it.
All right.
Personally.
So, well, of course, yeah, they're going to defend it and saying, well, our shareholders like money. All right. So the next.
I know. But
story,
come on, they were making crazy sales. Anyway.
Well, you know, a lot of people are saying they're not making any money.
But they were, and they just screwed it up.
I know, but a lot of people, they're saying now these netbook guys are losing money. Because they're selling them so cheap.
Yeah, they are selling them cheap. That's for sure. Anyway, all right. All right, next. Let's get on to the next
one. All right,
this
next story is
really
cool.
I have a lot to talk about on this
one. All right, this next story is kind of a pick-me-up, I think. The next story on the news docket is Canonical announces Ubuntu One.
Yes.
Now, Ubuntu One, from a very high-level perspective...
Give it to me.
It's a little bit of something built specifically for Linux and mixed with a little bit of the Dropbox recipes where you can save files in a folder and have them immediately sync to other people or to your other computers instantly over the internet.
Right. It's a lot like Dropbox.
It's a lot like Dropbox in that sense. And in my opinion, this cloud computing that everybody talks about, this is the best implementation of it because it's using my local systems, using my local storage.
And you're always safe. You always have your stuff with
you. I always have
you.
It. Yeah. And you can work offline, and whenever you connect, then it syncs via the cloud,
yeah,
aka the internet, aka TCP/IP, to other machines in this essentially association that you join.
Right. Which is really, really cool. And, you know, we've been using Dropbox quite a bit, and Dropbox is great. You drop a picture or a movie file into your Dropbox folder. Right. Literally, seconds later, it's on all your machines running that connected to that Dropbox account.
Right.
It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And essentially, we're looking at the same thing with Ubuntu One, except it only works with Ubuntu. So that's kind of a limitation,
if you're an Ubuntu household, and you've got a couple of different computers. A great example is if you have a desktop and a netbook, or a desktop and a laptop, and you want to synchronize your bookmarks or something like that, you can store your bookmark file in this Ubuntu One folder and then have it sync among all your machines.
Right.
Or, you know, Word docs or whatever you want to do, open office docs and picture files and whatnot. So the way that Canonical's approaching this is they kind of want to have a way to have a reoccurring income so that way, you know, the company can survive. And the route is right now is they're going to kind of do all the Dropbox in terms of pricing structure.
Right.
You're going to get 2 gigabytes for free.
Which, come on, two gigs of constantly sync storage, that's going to let you store a lot of stuff.
I'm pretty sure that's what you and I use, and we store like video files in there for
the show. We move around the logos and everything that way.
Yeah. Then if you go to $10 per month, you get 10 gigabytes worth of storage. And so of course you have, you know, unlimited storage on your local disk, but this storage is the one that goes up on their server that then syncs down to all your machines. I think for $10 a month, I think Dropbox might be
Dropbox
offering 20.
Dropbox is a little better on the price storage ratio, plus Dropbox supports Mac and Windows at the same time. But this
here's
kind
the
of
thing. Yeah. Here's the thing. I think, and by the way, Ubuntu One does require Ubuntu 9.04.
Right.
But here's where I think they need to take this, and if they took this, then it doesn't even make Dropbox a factor in my decision process. And that is kind of a la Mobile Me in the sense.
Yeah, the dot Mac approach.
Yeah. Synchronize my Thunderbird profiles, synchronize Evolution, my Pigeon.
Just have a series of checkboxes that synchronize the default Ubuntu application.
And that really shouldn't
together.
Be that tough because it's all in those .dot folders in your home directory.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you just have to go grab those and synchronize them between all my machines. And if I could even synchronize like my GNOME keychain and things like that, that would be very handy because I always have to reset up all that stuff or I have to copy over my home directory files. And I would just like to be able to have all of that immediately update.
Well, you know, with going the Dropbox route, symlinks work.
Yes.
Yeah, I've done that with a lot of stuff in my home folder where I just have like my documents folder and even some of my settings are automatically symlinked.
If you integrate it into the Ubuntu desktop, so all you have to do is
check a few checkboxes so that your average user can do it. Yeah.
You log in, you get your
bookmarks,
first install, you check them.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah, your bookmarks, your Pigeon settings, all your other stuff are always on all the machines.
I think now that would make Ubuntu One extremely compelling.
Extremely compelling. And you know, honestly, I like what they're doing with this. They're setting in and saying, you know, here we're giving away the system for free. Let's try and earn some actual revenue from services.
Right.
And it's difficult to earn revenue from services unless you're doing a very specific thing. And this actually could work even if a small percentage of the Ubuntu user base goes for this and pays for it, it still is going to be able to provide them with the ability to have some sort of income.
And the other angle
to pay developers
that they have that Dropbox doesn't really have is, and this is Apple's angle too, is they make the desktop OS.
They make it.
They can tie in things into the actual code that Dropbox does not have the ability to do.
Right, and the reality is it's beta right now. It's like an invite-only beta.
You know what they need to do is they need to do the sync services that MobileMe does so that other applications can write towards Ubuntu One syncing.
So exactly.
Like a sync service backend that runs as an Ubuntu service.
You know what I immediately started thinking of?
Huh.
You write a couple of specific scripts for Conduit that tied in with Ubuntu One.
Yeah.
So you could literally have all your F-spot and everything syncing
Tomboy
in and out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that would be pimp. And, you know, realistically, it's in beta now. So it'll be, I'm sure it'll be out of beta by the time like 9.10 ships, right? So Ubuntu 9.10 ships, Ubuntu One's out of beta. Maybe it'll be the same service that it is now with just the storage and that's it. Yeah. Maybe it'll be something more, but either way, I'd say it's pretty good odds that come Ubuntu 9.10, Ubuntu One is going to be in the system by default.
Well, yeah.
And then you can just turn it on or off at install
time. The basic plan is free, 2 gigs. Right. And that's going to be, that's plenty to sync all of your settings files and things like that.
Right. But so what they can basically say at that point is, here's another reason why Ubuntu is badass.
Right.
And then on top of it, if they can upsell people to the per month thing, and then they've essentially created a subscription service for their system.
And if you bake in if you bake into the OS, so it uses the Ubuntu notification systems when things change, and you tie in maybe a sync services backend where other where other developers on the for the Linux desktop can write. I mean, if you're writing, for example, if depending on the file size, you know, Radical Codex, wouldn't it be cool if you could say write something so that Radical Codex, some people could sync some of their different comics between all of their machines
for sure
using Ubuntu One. You don't have to write any of the sync stuff.
Nope.
You just have to write the communication piece to the sync server.
Right. It'd be very, very cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. So, you know, I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful for where they're going with this. Yep. I really like where they're going with this.
Yes.
And I'm just happy to see, you know, a distro come out with something other than we sell T-shirts for a revenue stream.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And this has great potential as far as I'm concerned.
Huge potential.
All right, Brian. Well, that's all the news for this week.
Yeah.
So for the next segment, did you want to do we'd thrown around a couple of different things. We talked about, we should have teased that we might have an interview. We'll tease at the end of the show for Ubuntu One.
Okay.
Did you want to do the review of the HP workstation as an entire segment? Is that enough for an entire segment? Because I've also, you know, I've gotten some feedback from Twitter, and it's 50-50. Some people want to hear our thoughts on Windows 7, and some people don't. Hey, chat room, what do you think? Do you want to hear us give a review that kind of says, this is current state of Windows 7, this is current state of Linux, this is what we think's going on? Should we avoid the Windows 7 subject?
To do that if they want.
Yeah, I don't know if people think we should pretend like it doesn't exist and then we'll hide from it, or should we talk about it and be like, yeah, we've looked at it, these are our thoughts.
I don't know. I kind of say we do it, personally.
Well, but see, there's some people in there that don't want to hear it. They say that this isn't the Windows show, this is the Linux show, and they want to hear about Linux. They don't want to hear about Windows.
Well, let's compare the two.
My opinion is, and maybe I'll just say this in the show. My opinion is, if you'd never look at your competition, then you're never going to be able to benchmark.
All right, let's do it.
But so is there so too much with this?
This will be fairly short. I mean, there's a little bit of stuff I want to talk about, and honestly, it's going to be a little bit of a quick discussion about HP in general. Which I want to hug those guys so bad.
So right do now. You? How about I'll throw it to you about? Do you want to start it and frame it as a review of the workstation?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that, and then.
I hear a car. See, the problem with a car showing up at the house is it's the wife, and we're in the garage.
Right. So everyone, hold tight. Shh. Be very, very quiet.
Do you want to call them and let them know that we're taking a break, but we're still live.
I think they're.
Yeah. See, then the dogs are gonna go for a bit.
That's okay. It's okay. They parked outside. So we're.
Yeah, good. I know. I know they're parking outside, but I still want them to. But yeah. All right. All right. So.
I know we're still going.
Should we wait to hit record? Just
let's wait to hit record for the next few minutes until after they open the door. All right. So. Yeah, I do always like to talk about
hunting rabbits.
When Linux needs to get better, yeah, hunting rabbits is good. All right, so
that's what I thought maybe we'd talk about.
Hunting rabbits?
No, Linux hater.
Do you want to talk about that?
It's up to you, man.
Do you guys want to talk about Linux hater at all?
yeah, it's up to everybody else. Nah, they read Brian's blog. Nah, we're getting a lot of people. All right,
we're going with no on that one.
Yeah,
good, because I really don't feel like talking about him, or her, or whatever.
It.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. Well, all right. Well, let's just leave that out of the show. Oh, Sean is cruising for a bruising.
Why? What'd he do?
He says Linux Hater is cooler than Brian.
Uh-oh.
I know. Yeah, I got to be honest. Actually, the one thing, and let's keep this out of the show, but the one thing I like about Linux Hater is the name. I have a thing for intentionally, obviously stirring the pot names. That's great. You know, that's the whole reason, like, I named my little speech. I did Linux Sucks. I mean, obviously it's tongue in cheek, you know, but man, does it stir the pot and it gets conversations going. So Linux Hater, that's cool that he did that.
I think it's kind of apparent that your speech and Linux Hater are talking to a segment of people out there that are frustrated right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because he's just going at it.
The volume of response that both of you got.
It's huge.
It's huge. And you wouldn't get that if people weren't feeling a certain amount of pain right now.
And it doesn't even have all that much to do with how he does it or how I do it. It's just that people, it's almost cathartic to be talking about the topic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we're probably ready. It sounds like they're situated. So you want to kick off the recording?
Yeah, absolutely. We want to start off with the review of the HP.
So I'll throw it to you. How's that sound?
Okay.
Yeah, they're still making a lot of noise out there, aren't they?
All right. It sounds like they're getting quieter.
All right, let's go for it. All right, Brian. Well, it's been a while since we've talked about, really specifically hardware-related things.
Yep,
and recently, the good folks over at HP, if you watched last week's live stream, we did an unboxing of this unit before the Action Show.
We just got it like a few days prior. So
we opened it right there with the cameras.
There's nothing quite as nerdy as unboxing hardware.
So they sent us this unit and been kicking the tires for a bit. And Brian's talked to them and gotten a few questions answered.
Yep.
So we thought, let's go over some of our notes from our experience.
Absolutely. So what we're talking about here is specifically is the DC50. 850, which is a business class desktop. It's specifically targeted at businesses. Consumers can buy them.
Now this is it's an interesting
meant
deal
for businesses.
It's got the AMD processor,
the Phenom,
where it has three cores.
It's a tri-core processor,
which kind of cool.
I'm gonna be honest, tri-core sounds way more sci-fi than dual core.
Yeah, it does.
Quad core, I know it's four. I know four is more than three.
Four is more than three.
But honestly, I kind of like the sound of tricore because it sounds like tricorder, and that
makes
me happy.
I was just gonna say that. I was just gonna.
So I've had some time to really dive into this machine in depth. It's a reasonably priced rig. It's your standard, you know, fairly low profile desktop machine. It's got a nice little,
and quiet.
It's very quiet. It's got a nice little DVD burner in it with LightScribe, and it ships out of the box with SLED 10.2. And it does really well. It's got a couple of applications extra bundled with it on top of SLED. So it's got like a nice little LightScribe designer so you can create your own thing.
Yeah.
For it.
Does it come with Nero?
No, I don't believe
the LightScribe app's just standalone.
It's just a standalone LightScribe app, and it works very, very well. So you can create your own LightScribe, flip your DVD over, and it'll burn your logo onto the other side of the DVD. LightScribe is cool.
That's
I love
cool.
LightScribe.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah, I do too.
So, but that's neither here nor there, because that's not really that big of a deal when you come to a business class desktop.
But the price point's good. I mean, you get a tri-core machine. Was it 2 gigs of RAM?
Yep.
And you get
a nice big hard drive.
It's
great. And it's like, what is it? It's just below $800.
Yes, just under $800.
And it's a very good deal. Now, here's the part. So I didn't even know this. So I sat down last week, and I got to give kudos to HP here.
Uh-oh, here we go.
We did a review of the HP, the Mini Note, the 2133.
Yeah.
A long time ago. And we did one of the Media Vault and all these sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever they send review hardware to us, they're like, you know what? We would love to talk to you on the phone about that. I'm like, okay, great. The first time I did this, I thought, okay, I'm going to go and call in some marketing guys. No, you call the marketing guys. They get you on a conference call where I got to sit there and talk to the people who are the developers of the project, the project managers, the people actually in charge of making the next version.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And half the time I'm asking them questions, and the other half of the time they're asking me what I think should happen. And I love that. But I mean, it shows they actually seem to be caring what, you know, their customers think. And it's like they notice, hey, the Linux Action Show are super nerdy, so we're going to listen to what they think about the nerdy stuff.
Yeah.
And I
love
it.
We have a beat on the public.
So anyway, one of the things that I found out though was that this thing comes with a nice little warranty. And I was like,
you say nice little warranty, you mean nice huge warranty.
So in the cost of it, you don't have to pay anything else. It's a 3-year full parts included on-site warranty.
Wow. Included. That under
$800. You don't have to buy some freaking Apple Care for $300,000 a year to swap out a card, which they won't even swap out because they're like, well, you might have held it funny. No. It's just this awesome HP thing where it's 3 years, all the freaking parts in it, on-site, full support warranty. I mean, come on. That's ridiculous.
Now,
that's awesome.
It's not necessarily like Linux troubleshooting support. It's like,
No.
It's like motherboard issues.
My board got fried. It stopped working.
Well,
I'll
be honest with you, Brian.
That stuff happens.
That is a big thing for business because the business looks at it as the initial cost of the computer is a very small price of the overall lifetime cost of the machine. And when there's a hardware failure, the time down for the employee plus the time down plus the time for the IT technician to work on it plus whatever else they didn't get accomplished is very, very expensive.
It's very slick.
It can become much more expensive than the machine. So when you get this kind of warranty, that's a huge factor for businesses.
It's huge.
And the reason why I like that is because it's going to be for people looking at Linux systems. They can look at this and go, wow, this is a fantastic warranty.
Right.
And it comes with Linux.
Yes. And that kind of goes into the next thing is they're really targeting this at businesses. And what is it that businesses want? Well, they want this. Well, they want crazy nice warranties that are going to save them money. And then on top of that, they want certification. They want to know that their various OS is going to be certified for use in a enterprise style environment.
That's where the SLED comes in.
So that's where they went with SLED.
And we
talked with them a little bit about that. And that's why they went with SLED. Now, HP, here's kind of the interesting part for me. HP has no problems with different parts of their business line running different Linux distributions. They don't see any issue there. For instance, their mobile Internet Experience, which ships on their Linux version of the HP Mini 1000s, the one I got right here, is based on kind of a modified version of Ubuntu, essentially kind of like what Dell is doing, except way more modified. Then their business class is all based on SLED because obviously that's more what
enterprise.
That market needs.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of interesting. So we talked about that a little bit.
So they figure it's Linux at the core.
Yeah.
And there's just different strokes from folks. And that's essentially my take on it, too.
Exactly. So the certification was entirely the key. And what they did was, so they put a few apps by default on their edition, like the Lightscribe stuff and whatnot. But they also thought was, since we're also already offering this, why not also offer this into education? And so they worked with a bunch of the people in the education community, particularly the OpenSUSE crowd, to put together a new repository of just educational based software.
That is awesome.
So
Linux
there is
such a great educational desktop.
So there is a so you can get this, put this in schools and education environments with a custom educational repo provided by HP with additional help and support from the OpenSUSE crowd and Novell. Kind of nice. I liked that a lot. I also like that HP, so they've been working with the OpenSUSE folks and the OpenSUSE education folks to make that happen.
That's
so they're
awesome
kind of giving back that way.
That's really cool. I did not know that before the show, and I am really impressed by that.
The only downside to this device for me is the fact that it is running SLED 10 and not SLED 11. Now, SLED 10 has been around for 3 years now. It has been updated, SLED 10.1 and then 10.2, and it is... It has been updated. It's not like it's way out of date and not modern. And come on, let's be honest. 3 years old, or are we going to... It's not like we're XP old here. I mean, it's newer than most OSs out there. And really, 3 years old, at that point, we're only talking about slightly older than the most recent version of OS 10. So we're not exactly talking about ancient.
No, it feels long in the Linux world because we do the six-month release.
Because we move so fast, yeah.
But yeah, it really, honestly, if for enterprise, it's probably just about right. Or maybe even... 4 years is about right in the enterprise. And the nice thing about the machine, if it runs SLED 10.1, it's going to run SLED 11. But on top of that, SLED 10 is going to be supported for years and years and years. So even if you get this, you still got support forever.
Yeah.
Not forever, but you know what I mean.
No, totally.
Feels like forever.
It feels like forever. Yeah. So that was really my only downside with it. However, from their point of view, again, their general thinking is, in the enterprise and education markets, why do you need the latest OS?
Exactly.
So it doesn't really matter for them. SLED 10 is going to do just fine. There is no OS direct upgrade path from SLED 10 to SLED 11 on the hard on the DC5850. However, future business desktops that they come out with, or future revisions of the DC5850, they are going to be SLED 11, from what I understand.
Oh, okay.
It's just that they're not looking to specifically go out there. And this actually made sense to me once they kind of talked me through it, is they don't want to go out there and break everyone's existing SLED 10 installs just to give them the latest and greatest OS, considering the whole point is right. Enterprise and education anyway.
Yeah.
So I really dug that, actually.
I
was kind of sold. It's not bad.
And it's a good box.
It's a good box. It's a box I would buy.
What was the model again?
The DC5850. Now, if you look through the HP website, you're going to find a couple of different pages for the DC5850. If you're looking for this particular model, you're going to want to find like the business purchasing side of it. Mm. And then you can have a SLED 10 version of the DC5850. And there's a few different processor options. We tested the one with the Phonon tri-core.
You build in a three-year on-site warranty for under $800.
Dude.
Total in. That's...
Dude. I mean, you'll spend, you know, $600 just for a three-year warranty, you know, through Apple as is.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah.
What?
Right.
So it's like buying a $200 piece of hardware, right, then that rivals, you could, you know, $1,000 piece of hardware.
You could buy a netbook with the savings.
You could buy a netbook with the savings. That's just seriously. And you know what? So you do this through HP, turn around, boom, buy an HP netbook also running Linux. So I don't know. HP's really winning a lot.
They should advertise on our show because we're obviously pretty impressed.
yeah, it's like with Nokia, right? Like there are certain vendors that have really won me over. Like Dell has been doing the Linux thing for a while. I like that they're doing it.
They're not winning
me over.
I know, and I wish they would because I think they could.
Yeah, I think they could too. They've been really close. Mm-hmm. I gotta admit, they've done some things very right.
Right, exactly.
But it's just they haven't done it. But like, you know, Nokia comes out with like a couple of devices and I start giggling like a schoolgirl.
Yeah,
HP comes out with like the netbooks and they're like, you know what? Let's do this exactly right.
But what's the difference? Like, oh. What's the difference? The difference is when Nokia does something awesome with QT, they get it out there. It gets blogged. It gets press released.
Yeah, it's true.
When HP releases a Linux desktop that comes with 3 years of warranty, they ship the HP Desktop Linux Action Show and say, hey, let's let you have a chat to our engineers. When
yeah.
Dell does something, you only find out about it if some guy who's, you know, he's a good dude, he's an important dude in the Linux area, Dell,
but still,
but unless he posts it on YouTube and then Gizmodo picks it up just by checking out his channel, you never hear about it.
Exactly.
That's the difference. And it is time and time again, how you interact with the Linux community, it differentiates how you perform in the Linux market.
Oh,
and it's how all these companies keep screwing up.
Completely related note, because HP does things right, the little HP Mini 1000 netbook here, yeah, you can throw Intel's Mobile and 2 on here just fine.
Intel
thing. Because the HP guys, they actually know what they're doing from a hardware standpoint.
That's cool.
Anyway, I just wanted to say that out there. A quick review on it. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because it really is an enterprise business class desktop.
Yeah.
But I was damn impressed. The warranty thing is what really won me over.
So now transitioning, you know, just here for a bit, I thought maybe we wouldn't take a ton of time because I know, you know, people get a little sick when we don't talk about specifically just Linux related topics, but I thought
okay,
let's spend just a couple of minutes if possible and talk about Windows 7. It is in the release candidate phase, and the reason why I'll do this, and I don't know, we may or might not do this with Snow Leopard when it gets to a release candidate phase, is I think as the Linux community, it is important to analyze where essentially our competitors are and contrast that to where we're at. And because the reason is a lot of times our competitors are doing something to address a particular market desire that we may or may not have already answered. And if we're not answering it, we need to step up and answer it.
Right. Right. And also what it does help, and the flip side is just as true. If we throw up Windows 7 and we say, hey, you know what? By sitting for a day in Windows 7, I'm finding that I'm missing, you know, X, Y, and Z features from Linux. Then we know we need to do a better job of pimping those features to the public because,
because
those features really need to be highlighted because those were so awesome.
Yes.
It's like F-Spot. I bring this up over and over again. When it comes to photo management, I love me the F-Spot. I love F-Spot. F-Spot is like the king of having your photos organized and then exporting them.
Right.
No one exports photos quite like X-Spot. F-Spot does. Mm-hmm. You go over to Windows, you fire up a VM with Windows 7 or XP or something on it. It's like, damn it, you know, there's a lot of great photo apps on Windows, but none of them are F-Spot.
Right. That's your F-Spot. My first thing, just might as well start with that. The first thing I miss when I'm in Windows is virtual desktops. Within 10 minutes, I'm pulling my hair out.
And Windows 7 still doesn't have that.
It's crazy.
Why do not they have that?
I don't know.
It does not make any sense.
Okay. So I won't make this very long. I'll just say I think some of the things that Windows 7 is doing right that I would like to see Linux step up is they have like a device action center or something like that.
Oh,
where
yeah.
They list
that is kind of neat.
All the different peripheral devices, which is one of the first things new Linux users ask us when they switch to Linux is, where's my device manager?
Right.
And then I tell them, oh, bring up the terminal and run LSPCI or whatever.
Yeah.
And so that's a really cool deal, and I think Linux should have something kind of like that.
It really should.
So I'll just – that's one thing. I note that it feels like some of the people that are designing the new UI in Windows 7 spent some time with Compiz, because there's a lot of Compiz is
– or KDE4.
The little, you know, like the taskbar, you hover over an item and it does a little preview thing.
Yep.
I guess that – was that in Vista?
Yeah.
Oh, is it? Okay. Well, so maybe – I don't know. But
– yeah. No, Vista did have a couple of nice spots.
K-Info Center, but it's not the same.
No, K-Info Center is good, but it's not the same.
No.
No. It, you know, they're – yeah. Yeah, for sure not the same. One thing that I really kind of notice out is the first – initial experience when you boot up Windows 7 versus when you boot up, let's say, KDE4 or current GNOME desktop.
Okay.
Is that Windows 7 still feels more modern. And that's mostly just some graphical things. Mm. You know what I mean? Like,
KDE4 though.
Even KDE4. And,
really?
And I think the reason for it, and you know, I need to really sit down and figure this out, and I think a lot of designers need to kind of take some time out on this too, is like the Windows 7 bar at the bottom, right? Their task bar.
Their dock, you mean?
Their dock-like thing. It's not really a dock.
No, it's a lot like a dock, though.
It's like a dock.
It's like a dock start bar combo.
Yeah, but it's no more like a dock than the OS X dock is like a task bar.
No, check this out.
You know what I mean? It's like
you have what is a key principle of a dock? Icons that are always there regardless if they're running or not. And
yeah,
when they're
running, there's only a slight element change. And 7 has that too.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
They have the quick launch.
They have the quick launch.
But once you launch them, then there's a separate entry in the taskbar.
That's why in Windows 7, they just combined the two.
Which is much more like a dock.
I guess much more like a dock. But that's like saying,
I'm not saying it's a dock. I'm saying it's a dock taskbar hybrid
thing. That's like
thing.
Saying that once you add rich text editing to a text editor, well, suddenly it's a word processor. Well, no, it's just more similar. There's still some pretty big differences.
No, they call it the super bar,
Mike says.
It is a basic principle of a dock that if you have a static set of icons.
A basic principle
it is,
of
dude,
a dock.
The dock is a set of icons, regardless if they're running or not, they are there, and then you click them and you don't get a new entry, you get that entry's element changes.
All right.
That's a dock.
All right. So, but I guess my thing though is, so the dock.
No, it's,
on
I
Windows
mean, it's a super
7.
Bar. I mean, whatever the hell you want to call it, but I'm just saying it's.
Okay. Are you going to make up your mind, Windows 7 fanboy who really wants to make sure that the names are right?
No, I think it is not an inspired design. But they're getting a lot of credit for it, is what my point is.
Well, I don't think it's. I think the whole thing is though that they've revved the look and feel. I don't really. That's the only thing I care about is when you have the look the look and feel
right.
of the dock. It look or the taskbar, superbar, whatever the F you want to call it in Windows 7.
Who cares?
I don't even care.
Neither do I.
It does look more modern, right? It has nice little transparencies to it, and when you hover things, they have cool swooping animations and things like that, right? So it looks nice.
Okay,
it looks modern. When you load up like a current GNOME desktop, more so than KDE4, but KDE4 still looks a little long of the tooth in certain spots. Though it doesn't look as fresh. You know what I mean? Like the KDE4 or the GNOME, you get a status bars. You get those GNOME panels.
Right. No, GNOME is looking old these days.
It looks old.
I mean, I still prefer GNOME, but it looks old.
I do too, but it just looks so old. Now, you can, if you modify it a lot and apply the right kind of themes, you can make it look nice and modern and great, mm-hmm. but none of the distros do that by default. It all looks kind of meh.
Yeah.
And I think that's a problem. That's honestly one of the biggest Windows 7 selling points is that.
Let's just summarize this up. Is there anything that you think Windows 7 is presenting that is a game changer for Linux? Like, the Linux is, like, so screwed if they don't do something. I don't think there is.
I don't think so. No. I don't think it changed. Windows 7 coming doesn't change anything. I mean, a lot of, you know, like, people come out and say, oh, Windows 7, it's going to be a great new opportunity for Linux. Like, no, it's better than Windows Vista.
Yeah.
So, and it doesn't even matter if it is or not. People think it is.
Right.
So people are going to buy it more, and people are going to like it more. I'm like, okay, so it's not really an opportunity for us. We just need to keep doing what we do and what we do best. And really, you're right. Things like the device center type thing.
That'd be nice.
We come up with something more like that. Yeah. You know, maybe up the eye candy another ante, because that's what the other people are doing. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, that's really about it.
Eye candy that presents usability improvements.
Yes. Yeah. Not just eye candy for eye candy's sake, right. but usability improvements is nice.
All right. So I didn't want people to think that we were just pretending like it wasn't out there and avoiding it. That's not what the case was. It's just that's our take on it, and do with that as you will. Please don't write us and tell us you don't want to hear things about Windows and Linux Action Show.
We do not want to talk about Windows things in the Linux Action Show, but we have to from time to time.
We don't have our heads in the sand, Brian.
We do not. We are not ostriches.
All right, Brian. Well, that wraps up the HP and the Windows 7 brief looks segment.
Also the We Are Not Ostriches segment. Oh yeah, the elegant Brit theme. That is a good theme. I like that one. I mean, it's very simple but very cool.
You're very simple.
But very cool? You didn't say that.
What?
Dick. Do 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 do.
Keep going.
Bum 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 bum.
All right, so we're in the last segment here.
We got anything else we need to cover?
Well, we're at 50 minutes.
Wow, look at us go.
I know, we did do an episode where we don't have the mid segment and we just do calls and questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to just do that next time. That's what we'll do. Great, now it's stuck in my head. Sweet. All right. So, in the last segment, I'd like to talk about the store. I'd like to tease that we're going to try to get an Ubuntu One interview.
Yep. And review.
And review.
I don't have an Ubuntu One account yet.
I know.
We emailed them, but they're having their big Ubuntu
it's
summit
Ubuntu
right
developer
now.
Ubuntu Developer Summit.
Yeah. Yeah. So all of our normal contacts are all flying around the world, jet setting right now.
Word. So I think that's all we need to cover in the end segment.
Yeah. I think that about covers it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll hit record.
And that brings us to just about the end of this week's broadcast.
Brought to you by the Jupiter Broadcasting Store.
Brought to you by the Jupiter Broadcasting Store.
Yeah, so we talked about this for a little bit now, but if you go to jupiterbroadcasting.com/store, or there's our gear store link on the main page, it's basically we're just right now is an Amazon affiliate link store. So we just have all the gear that we try to use to do these shows that's available at Amazon. I'm putting in there. I need to update a little bit for some of the new studio stuff. I kind of have like an IT gear section, and somebody suggested that you should put some books that you recommend for developers in there.
Oh, that's actually a very good idea. There are some really good books out there
And if you go there and you just want to peruse it and you find something you want, or if you're going to go to Amazon and you link to Amazon through our store, we get 4% or 5% or whatever.
So
the
if you're going to shop on Amazon, that's your starting
Unless
point.
You buy a Kindle, then we make crazy money. We make 20% off a Kindle.
Yeah, so if you feel free to buy a Kindle.
And then I think we even make a small percentage, 2%
of your book buys.
Of every book buy.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. So that's awesome. But,
yes, for sure.
And then, of course, we have the GoDaddy Linux and Linux 20 codes to save you some cash and hook us up with GoDaddy.
These are the ways in which you support
the
Linux
Action
Show.
You should talk a little bit. So you've got, we've got, you know, we're doing stuff on the stream all the time.
All the time.
We've got streams going right now. We're talking about merging streams. We're talking about not merging. We're trying
crazy.
To figure it all out. We're working with Ustream and live stream to figure all that
stuff out. Yeah, we're still working at our permanent future plans. And hopefully this next week we'll have that all sorted out permanently. Yeah.
Yep. So in the meantime, to keep updated on what we're working on, you can follow us on Twitter. I am twitter.com/ChrisLAS.
And I am Brian with a Y, L-A-S.
And I wanted to say, of course, we're also on Identica, but I am digging FriendFeed. And if you're on FriendFeed,
FriendFeed's not bad.
I'm Chris LAS on FriendFeed as well.
I think I'm on there too, but I never log in.
Yeah. So, and I've set up a Jupiter Broadcasting room or group or whatever where we can talk about just Jupiter Broadcasting stuff where people can join up if they want.
Absolutely.
If you want to get in contact with the show, Brian, tell them what the email address is.
Oh, man. LinuxActionShow@jupiterbroadcasting.com is an awfully good one. You can also get to us at our forum. It has moved and has a brand new location at Jupiter Colony. Jupiter.com. See, that's all fancy. It's like a colony of people for Jupiter Broadcasting. Yeah, it's cool like that. It's cool like that. And of course, we got blogs. You can go to our blogs, lundu.com, binfalse.com. It's very fancy.
Bin-false.org.
Oh, you can't forget the hyphen. Because you friggin' got a domain name with a friggin' hyphen in it. Because it makes it easier to say with a friggin' hyphen.
Oh, I know. It was old. Well,
I know, man. It's cool. Dude, don't worry about it. Dude.
It's horrible.
Dude, don't worry about it. You're cool.
Okay.
I'll buy you a beer, man.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
You're welcome.
Well, I think that just about wraps up this episode of the Linux Action Show.
You betcha it does. We'll see everyone in 2 weeks.
That seems like it went by really fast.
Well, but, you know.
It was an hour show.
Time flies, everybody.
Yeah, that was awesome. Well, you know what?
We still got to do the intro.
This is true.
Yep.
Everybody's so awesome for joining us in the live chat room.
Please appreciate it, everybody. What do you guys think of having the chat feed inside the video stream itself?
Man, I meant to mention that our 3-year anniversary is coming up, but
next episode is our 3-year episode.
I know it.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be talking about that a bit. I'll blog about that tomorrow or
tonight. You gotta blog about it. Whoa.
That just happened. Did you see that?
Yeah.
That just popped right through.
I'm gonna turn that light off just in case it doesn't burn through the thing.
That is a really good idea. We have super fancy lights. If you saw the the behind the scenes thing, you probably saw some of those. But you know, with the cloth diffusers and everything over it, one of the little poles that's like a tent pole that keeps it all stretched out just shot right through the edge of it, and it's all flopping in on itself. We need to break out the electrical tape and fancy that up or something.
Well, those things run so hot that they'll actually catch on fire if it touches the bulb.
Oh, that's intense and awesome.
Each one of those lights is 800 watts.
Wow, it's darker on the video now.
Yeah, I apologize. You know what? I'll adjust it real quick on the exposure. It's not going to look very good for this last part.
It's okay. And we can probably just leave it dark for a little bit.
Hey, I have the technology, though, to adjust a little bit. How's the chroma key? Is it still okay?
Yeah, it seems fine.
I fixed the lighting a little bit.
Nice. Yeah, so the coding with Brian we did today is not the normal coding with Brian. I'm still kind of working on the default look and feel for that. We just rolled with the set Chris had here for that one. I think probably next week we'll probably be back and I'll be doing it at my desk as per usual.
We don't usually record Linux Action Show on Sunday.
And my face will be all friggin' huge in there with my webcam right on me.
But the way that our schedules worked out, we needed to record Linux Action Show on the Sunday.
Yep. What can you do, you guys?
Let's see. What did we talk about today?
Nothing. No. This week on Linux Action Show, I got nothing. There we go. Can we download Coding with Brian? You can if you can download Flash video off of YouTube. So far, Coding with Brian is pretty much just the live show, and then you can watch it.
The embed,
and that's pretty much the gist of it right now. You know, if it takes off and people really dig the show, you know, we'll keep it going, keep it rolling, and we might have a download version available afterwards. But for now, it's just watching the embed and all that sort of thing. I'm not going to sing the A-Team thing song again, but if you like, let's do a little bit of this one. Let's see, what do we got? What Chris is typing up there? We could go real, real solid. We'll stick in the Dirk Benedict theme, and we could go bum 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 bum. You know what I'm saying? Break out that a little bit. Knight Rider. I'm not doing Knight Rider. I mean, I like Knight Rider, don't get me wrong, but Knight Rider didn't hold a candle to anything that Dirk Benedict's been in. That's what I'm talking about, man. A little A-Team, little original Battlestar Galactica from 78. Those shows were pimp. Actually, A-Team related story. I went to All right, this is revealing a little bit, but back when I was in high school, I was into the acting thing a little bit, and went to a festival, and actually was taught. I took like a day long like session on how to do gunshot effects from the guy who did the majority of the bullet effects and gunshot trains from the A-Team, which was awesome. So you know, they basically, what they do is, and if you've never really looked it up before, is they take those little like gel caps for popping pills, and they, you know, just fill them up with stuff, and you know, it's just essentially just gunpowder set on a relay, and you just fire them in a timed fashion, and then you can make it look like you've got gunshots and machine guns firing and off in a line and all those sorts of things. So like when you see, you know, the car driving along and the gunshots firing all next to them, that's what it is. It's just like a long line of those little gel caps put together and all lined up. It's pretty badass. And then, of course, you can fill it with like different types of like metals and elements to give them like different colors and smoke effects and all sorts of stuff. It's pretty cool. That was a good day. Plus, it was the guy from the A-Team. You really can't go wrong with anyone from the A-Team.
All right, how's this look here? I'll zoom in.
Look at you making bigger fonts. This week in Linux Action Show, we give you our thoughts on Asus serving Linux a big turd sandwich. A big turd sandwich with their new It's Better with Windows campaign. Then we bring things up a notch. We step things up a notch. Step things up a notch with Dell's adventure with Android on the netbooks. Something, there's like one too many widths. Yeah. We're doing the editing here, guys. Templeton Peck. That is such a good name. All right. Then we step things up a notch with Android on a netbook.
Want.
What to know? Do you want to know more? Sci-fi reference. You know, I never saw anything after the first movie. Like, I mean, obviously,
I watched like the third one. I skipped the second one. Or something.
I never saw the second or third one.
Yeah, well, you didn't miss much.
No, the first one was fun. Yeah. I mean, it was dumb. Would you like to know more?
Want to know the latest on the GPTX? Good, we'll tell you.
Then we review. All right, I'm gonna go moot and watch your levels over here.
Are you sure?
I'm gonna moot me and watch your levels.
All right, everybody. I'm gonna do what I like to call one taking this one. So we're gonna do the intro here.
All right, ready when you are.
Here's the thing: is I have no confidence in my own ability today. All right, here we go. Am I ready? This week on the Linux Action Show, we give you our thoughts on Asus serving a big Linux. It's all right. First sentence, no big deal.
Okay, ready?
Apparently not. Apparently I am not ready, Chris. You know what's great now is the green screen logo behind us. It's just ironic. Here we go.
You're right. Is it?
This week on the Linux Action Show, we give you our thoughts on Asus serving Linux a big turd sandwich with their new It's Better with Windows campaign. Then we step things up a notch with Android on a netbook. Want to know the latest on the GP2X? Good, we'll tell ya. Then we review a new HP Linux desktop, plus so much more. Oh, this week on the Linux Action Show. How'd that feel for you? You liked that one? What do you guys in the chat room think? You think that one works?
This week on the Linux Action Show, we give you our thoughts on Asus serving Linux a big...
All right. Chris gave me the thumbs up.
Got it. We got it.
Dude, it's better with lube.
What?
That's just what Jordan says. It's better than lube, better with lube.
All right, thanks everyone for watching and
streaming.
Good
times, guys. Good times.
We're gonna shut down because we got one light down and we got our ladies in the other room waiting
for
us.
Yeah, and the stuff and the things and the whatnots.
But I wanted to say thanks to everyone for showing up. We had a great turnout today. I'm really pleased with that.
Yes,
and
solid.
We're going to shut down here, but the classic Jupiter Broadcasting content will play almost immediately following.